The Lord himself shall come and shall talk with me word. Thousands shall answer from the tomb forever with the Lord. Then resurrection word, red shout of victory, once more forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Then as the upward fly, the resurrection word shall be our shout of victory forever with the Lord. That resurrection word, that shout of victory, once more forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let Jesus is Do not care. It seems as if Lord, perhaps we could turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I've been thinking recently about virtue. You see that word used here a few times. But there are a couple of other things here that touch on as well. The first number of verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, in his greeting, which is not necessarily only to the 12 tribes or the Jews and the other tribes as his first epistle was, but his greeting speaks of to them, or he writes to them who have obtained or received like precious faith. Well, that's all of us. And note it is that we have received faith. God has given us faith. You can find that elsewhere as well in Ephesians chapter 2. Faith is a gift from God. So he addresses these believers, whether Jew or Gentile, I believe. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And the knowledge of him that hath called us by glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So his divine power has given us everything that we need for life, for spiritual life, for the Christian life, all things that we need to go on in a godly way, honoring him, the Lord and Savior. We might think about the spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and so on. He has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I believe these all things would encompass those spiritual blessings. And everything that we need, everything we possibly need to live for him in a godly way. And also we have, beginning in verse 4, that he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's, you might say, an addition to the all things that pertain to life and godliness, or maybe a part of that. But that last part of verse 4, I've been thinking about that for a while, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That by what? Perhaps it's speaking of the great and precious promises, but I'm wondering if it doesn't include the all things that pertain unto life and godliness. These are the things that God has given us so that we might be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, we have the divine nature by virtue of God planting that seed, if you will, in our souls. John can tell us in his first epistle about that seed, the word that remains in us, and that's why we don't sin, and that's given to us in the abstract there in John's epistle. Peter speaks of it in a more practical way. So these all things that pertain to life and godliness are for the purpose of us sharing in that divine nature practically. We have the divine nature. Now we need to, you can use the term, tap into that, or by these things God has given us so freely, use those things to bear fruit from the divine nature. And you'll see these in the next few verses here. In fact, at the end of this little section here, we have in verse 8, jumping ahead because it speaks of fruitfulness or unfruitfulness. Just to note that, but we'll read down through here quickly. In any case, we have all that we need from God to be partakers in a practical way of the divine nature and to have that divine nature work out in us practically. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And of course, Peter talks later about the corruption in the world through lust. And this is part of what he has brought us out of by his goodness and grace and by giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Then in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, or in your faith have virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. All these things are not necessarily things that we sequentially add or supply in our faith, but they are balancing to each other. We need each of these. Some might add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and might stop there. We might know a few people that have a lot of knowledge, the knowledge of the things of the Lord, but are they balanced out? And are we balanced out in our Christian lives by adding as well or supplying temperance, patience, endurance, I guess it should be, and godliness and brotherly kindness, love to our brethren, and of course, God's love. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need all these things. We need to supply all these things in balance with what God has given us by his divine power in order to be fruitful in our Christian lives. I wanted to just turn yet to a brief account in Luke chapter 8 that I thought maybe was a good example of adding to your faith virtue, or in your faith supplying virtue. Now, virtue is it's kind of a difficult word to know exactly what it means. Some have different thoughts than others. Some speak of it being excellence. But in the Strong's concordance, in the Strong's, it's properly manliness or valor, manliness. That's what virtue is in the Strong's. Then, valor, we kind of know what that means. Look that up in Merriam-Webster, which is, of course, not one step removed from the original Greek, but valor is strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness. So some brethren have used the term spiritual courage or stamina. Spiritual courage. Let's just think of it in that way for a few moments here. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. Breaking into a story, but it's a story within a story, so we'll just read a few verses here about this woman. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood stanched or stopped. Why did she come behind him? Why did she not come in front of him and get his attention? Well, she had faith. Faith that if she would touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. But maybe she didn't have a lot of spiritual courage yet at that time. Think of Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't have a lot of courage either when he came to the Lord by night. But the Lord worked in his heart, and over time, he had more courage, and he displayed more courage. I'm not talking more about him, but a few more verses here about this lady. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter, and they that were with him, said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Well, Peter was always quick to answer, and of course we read from Peter before, and perhaps this was in his thoughts when he wrote those words about adding to faith virtue. You know that, all directed by the Spirit of God, of course. And Jesus was responding to these disciples. Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now, this virtue is not the same original word as the one we have in Peter. It really here is power. Power went out of the Lord, and he felt it. He knew it. You know, we might think of power or something flowing out of say, air blowing out of a balloon or water draining out of a pool or something like that. Well, there's less air or there's less water there when some is drained out. But not so, of course, with the Lord. He was an infinite supply of power. He is that infinite supply of power, but he still could sense in his omniscience as God that power had gone out of him to heal this poor woman. And in verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him, get this, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Well, I have to think that perhaps the power of the Lord Jesus, virtue in the King James here, not only healed her body, but gave her some more of that spiritual courage that she needed. But even though she was still trembling when she came, she had that courage to declare before all the people what he had done for her. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So how is it with us as far as our courage, our spiritual courage? You know, all of us, I believe, I trust all of us have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But what about courage? You as young people have the courage to speak a word for the Lord, or perhaps to honor him in what you do in your school or your workplace. Do you have the spiritual courage to take the place with others gathered for the Lord's name, the Lord's table? We encourage you in that. Or for us who are older, perhaps, we have the courage to stand up against a false principle and seek to honor the Lord in standing for him. I have to think of Peter again. Peter wasn't, he failed at least once after Pentecost. Remember in Galatians chapter 2, Peter had to be withstood to the face because he was going with the crowd. He wasn't standing up in courage, with virtue, spiritual courage, against some who were who had come from James, as I recall the story now. But rather, he was refusing to eat with the Gentiles. Paul was the one who had to confront him with that courage that the Lord gave him. You could say again that virtue that he displayed there in withstanding Peter to the face. And of course, Peter accepted it, and Barnabas, I believe. But we all need that spiritual courage to go on well for the Lord in our lives. And he'll be honored. He'll be honored by that, and we'll grow in our own souls in the enjoyment of his things. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
Hear